Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
How's your prayer life? Need some help with that prayer life? Maybe you made a commitment for prayer during Lent, or maybe you'd like your prayer life to be a little stronger. Welcome back to Catholic Answers for our second hour today. It's the first Friday of Lent, so we thought we'd talk about prayer today. Our specific topic, rejuvenate your prayer, and our number, 888-318-7884. Please call with any question you might have about the life of prayer, Lenten prayer, the prayer through the sacraments, or problems maybe that you're having with prayer, 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is John Leonetti, author of Mission of the Family and Your God is Too Boring, both featured on Matthew Kelly's Dynamic Catholic Book Program, by the way. He's also really a highly regarded Catholic speaker and parish mission leader. John Leonetti, thank you so much for being with us today to talk about prayer.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me, man.
So we'll talk about Resurgence, 30 Days to Better Prayer, but I look on your website, and when I go there, at the banner at the top says, Faith Without Prayer is a Hobby.
Yes.
I thought it was wonderful when I saw it. What does it mean to you?
It means that if our faith is only cultural, then we're wasting our time. Our faith has to be, first and foremost, an encounter with the Lord Jesus. And everything stems from that. If we get that right, then everything else begins to make sense. But if we don't get that right, then we really have no basis, no foundation to be able to stand on. So when I first said that, honestly, it kind of just came out of my mouth. I hadn't thought about it. It wasn't something I was kind of looking for a tagline or anything like this. And I started saying it around a couple different radio shows, and I kept hearing more and more people say that really hit me. It hit me hard. And so I just kind of started using it, and it's become kind of the one phrase I'm known by. I only get one in this life, I guess, but that's the one.
You never know. Another lightning might strike twice. You might come up
with... We'll see.
I can't believe it's not butter. No, I think that's already taken. Okay, so Resurgence, 30 Days to Better Prayer, and you can get this at bettermyprayer.com. Tell us a little bit about that, John.
So I needed to put something together. I travel. I do about 30 parish missions a year. And it's quite a bit. In fact, I'm on the road right now doing a men's conference tomorrow here in Canton, and then going to be going to Cleveland for a mission. And I'll tell you, more and more, the last night I really spend on three distinct topics. One, prayer, which takes up most of the time. Two is the sacraments, and I really concentrate on confession. And then three is Our Lady. All of it, again, funneling kind of through that foundation of prayer. But more and more people come up to me constantly, and they say, John, I love this. It sounds amazing, but I don't know how, or I don't know where to start, or I don't know what to do, or I'm too distracted. And there's just a million different things that kind of go down it. And I knew I needed to develop something in my own prayer that could really help people, kind of help people walk through the process answering some of those questions. But the thing is about this program, for me, I'm a beginner. And if anyone who knows me knows I'm a beginner, and quite frankly, I think all of us are beginners in prayer. But I'm not that advanced. I'm really not. So what I decided to do with Resurgence was really try and compile the best of the best, whether it's the saints, whether it's the catechism, whether it's the scriptures, all of it, to be able to kind of funnel it into 30 days to be able to help people learn this great art of prayer. And so far, it's taken off. Lots of people enjoying it. We've had thousands of people visit the website so far, and it's exciting. Having a lot of fun.
So what are – I mean, I think you're right about there are very few of us who are in this life beyond being beginners at prayer.
Yeah.
And so what is it that you're – say you go through this 30 days of Resurgence, 30 Days to Better Prayer. What are kind of the keys for beginners, if you don't mind me asking? I mean, I don't want you to give away what, you know.
Sure. No, I can give away a ton of it, actually. Okay. I want to. And I have to say, too, if you go to the website, bettermyprayer.com, it does cost. But if you can't afford it, it's free. So I'm not hiding anything back. I don't want to hold anything back. This is 100% for anyone that needs help. And if you're like me, you need a lot of it. First and foremost, I think any beginner has to get acquainted well with silence. I'm terrible with it. I have such a hard time. being silent, kind of disconnecting from everything. And that's kind of probably my biggest struggle when it comes to my prayer life. But I noticed something with the saints is they were comfortable in silence. I'm uncomfortable. The saints were comfortable. I want to be a saint, so I want to be comfortable, period, and silence. Benedict XVI said something that was just beautiful. It's really hit me hard. He said that silence is the language of God. And we know this kind of just in general when we disconnect from things, it does help us in a lot of other areas. In fact, there was a scientist in Finland that actually did a major study on silence. And I'll kind of give you just the quick Cliff Notes version. Basically, he exposed mice to silence for a significant period of time. And what he found actually in these mice was afterwards, after this large exposure to silence, that the cellular growth exploded in the hippocampus, which is actually the region of the brain that contributes to our memory, emotion, and learning. So he found that, you know, improved memory, regulating emotions, all of it just kind of on a scientific level for the human person, silence is good for. But in prayer, it goes even deeper, because for us in prayer, if we're talking too much, we're going to get in the way of God, and God speaks right through the silence. So kind of the answer to your question, the introduction to this whole thing when it comes to what prayer has to be for us as Catholics is we have to get comfortable in our silence. And then the rest of it is just kind of like taking the steps of discipline, which is what the saints all had.
You know, your answer is both really helpful and, I have to be honest with you, a little terrifying, in that the world seems to be doing, like in a certain way you could say this massive brain experiment with young people who don't know how to be quiet or have downtime because they could just click on the phone or just, there's a video playing or sound playing or something, scrolling through something all the time. And so I either – that means they're going to be really attracted to silence when they grow up, or they're going to be completely disabled in that area.
Yeah. I think we're seeing the effects of that big time right now, especially in our high schools. More importantly, though, you know, I love reading about the business world. I love reading from some of the, you know, the big kind of business minds today and just really kind of seeing what they're doing. And I don't know, it's just kind of a big hobby for me. And one of the things that I find that really kind of across the board with every major author in the business world is you never stop learning. And so the big thing I think with most of the business world is you're constantly connected. You're constantly, I mean, you're up at 6 a.m., but you're not wasting any time. First and foremost, you jump in that shower. It's a cold shower, by the way. And then you're going off to this meeting, this connecting, you know, place. Then you're just, you know, taking in, and your headphones are in the whole time. You're constantly learning from the great. It's boom, 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 boom. It's really, in a lot of ways, the opposite when it comes to our relationship with the Lord Jesus. For us, it's not about kind of taking everything in. It's about letting everything go. And that's really, I think, significant for us when it comes to Catholic spirituality. It is all about letting go. It is all about stripping myself from all the busyness, all the distractions, all the things that come into me. And that's, I think, where we have to start. And, you know, it sounds maybe easy for some of us, but I think anyone that's really kind of put themselves into this and really dove in knows that it's a learned art. And so I constantly am saying the art of prayer, because it is something learned. Silence is not something that just happens easily. It's a constant entering into for the Catholic.
Our topic this hour on Catholic Answers Live, rejuvenate your prayer. Our guest, John Leonetti. Our number, 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll take your calls for John Leonetti.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways, but the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if Jesus never existed? This is exactly the tack taken by some skeptics today, and make no mistake, the freewheeling and often fact-free nature of many internet sites has allowed this way of thinking called mythicism to spread far and wide. The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, attacking the dating and accuracy of the canonical gospels, and arguing the church left out other gospels that would have told a different story. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of these charges. Good, solid answers. That's why Catholic Answer Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, Why You Can Trust the Gospels. It's a powerful presentation in which Jimmy takes on the skeptics and refutes them point by point, revealing how evidence from non-Catholic sources and even tiny details in the Gospels that you've never noticed before show how the Gospels are a true and accurate record of what our Savior said and did. Order your copy of Why You Can Trust the Gospels today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. First Friday of Lent. Hope your Lent is progressing well and that the rest of it will be a blessed Lent indeed. 888-318-7884 is our number here at Catholic Answers Live, and John Leonetti is our guest. The topic, rejuvenate your prayer, and John, you have this program, I guess program is the right way to say it, Resurgence 30 Days to Better Prayer, that people can go to and find on bettermyprayer.com. Mm-hmm. And you talked a little bit about silence, and maybe another thing that people, you said the baseline is silence. Do you get into there about a schedule of prayer? Because I mean, you're just saying you're in 30 different cities doing parish missions a year. How do you have a schedule for prayer?
No, remember, I'm a beginner. So I do really well at talking about prayer. It's a much different story when it comes to praying. Do I pray? Yes. I have to be very disciplined in it. But are there days that go by where I wonder at night when I say to myself, did I even pray today? Oh, yeah, definitely happens. That's why, you know, for me, I don't come at this from an expert. I come at it from a guy who wants to learn. And then what I do well, my gift that God's given me, is to be able to take and study the greats, the masters of Catholic spirituality, especially most of the time the saints, the fathers and mothers of the desert, the early church fathers, what they had to say, and then to be able to help us, myself included, put it all into action. But you're right, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the first instruction I always give for anyone, first and foremost, you want to be a saint, you're going to pray. Look at what the saints did. They all had a scheduled prayer life. You know, if I open up your calendar right now, I'm going to see a ton of different things. I'm going to see meetings. I'm going to see appointments, all of it, right? And I'm going to know those things are important because you scheduled and made time for them. If I don't see prayer on your schedule, quite frankly, it's not important. You know, and if you're a guy like me, you're scheduling a lot of things on a regular basis, and it's just too easy to be able to allow everything else to be able to get in the way. So the first and foremost thing I always ask people to do is put prayer on your schedule. Maybe it's every day the same time, or maybe it's, you know, Monday through Friday, but sit down every single week if you can, and to be able to put, this is going to be the 30 minutes or the 10 minutes that I'm going to spend with Jesus, period, paragraph. It's in there and nothing else gets in the way. I mean, unless you're taking a child to the emergency room, you are in that prayer corner, wherever it is that you designate.
888-318-7884 is the number. John, you ready? We've got calls. I'd like to go to them. You feel comfortable with that?
Pray for me.
All right. Robert in San Leandro, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. You are on with John Leonetti. What is your question?
Hi. Gosh, I think that idea of scheduling prayer is probably what I need to do. But my question was, you know, I often will, frankly, fall asleep while praying. You know, I want to do it last thing in the day. I've even told kids that I counsel at the local prison, you know, that you should pray at night. And I've read Louis de Montfort, for example, other, you know, older sources saying that you should be very focused and really dreamily praying, but concentrated on the prayer. So I wonder what your take is on that.
Yeah, in fact, I was actually going to go to Louis de Montfort. He's helped me a lot. Tell me your name again, I'm sorry.
Robert.
Robert, if you were to talk to your wife, Robert, I'm assuming you're married, if you were to talk to your wife when you're half asleep, and that's the only time you were to really communicate with her, how good do you think your relationship would be?
Yeah, that would
be a softball. Yeah, it's a softball question, right? It wouldn't be very good. It wouldn't be very deep. I think for a lot of us, we get into the habit of giving God the worst part of our day. And you know, the worst part of my day is when I'm most tired or drowsy or when I'm complaining or when I'm angry or when I'm stressed or when I'm anxious, right? All of those things. And does God want those times? Sure, of course he does. And I'm glad that we give those to him. But when we're talking about going to the next level, again, we're talking about sanctity here. When we're talking about the next level of prayer and all the masters of spirituality, they always gave God the best time of their day. You know, one of the things for me is I don't enter into that prayer. I don't go into that adoration chapel if I first don't have a cup of coffee. You know, for me, I that's just me. I got to have that cup of coffee. I want to be at my best. And I know after that cup of coffee, I'm going to be at my best. So when we're giving God our time, I think the best thing we can do, again, when we're scheduling that, the best thing we can do is schedule it when we are most alive. For some of us, it's going to be right before bed. For some of us, it's going to be right when we wake up in the morning. After breakfast, put something in your stomach. You know, if you got to read the paper first, otherwise you're going to be distracted, you know, fine. Whatever it is, schedule the best part of your day when you're most alive and give that time to God. Schedule that out. I think that's the best bet we're going to have at really entering to that level that the saints did when it comes to that communication with our Lord.
Those words encourage me. I think I'm gonna make a push this Lent. That'll be my Lenten promise to give God my best time. Thank you.
Good man, Robert. Thank you so much, brother. God bless you.
We go now to Mike in Cypress, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Mike, you are on with John Leonetti. What's your question, please?
Oh, hello.
Hi, Mike, you are on Catholic Answers Live with John Leonetti.
Oh, I think Mike was ahead of me. I haven't been screened yet, but I do have a question. I as well.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure, sure. Well, tell us your first name then. Or...
It's Will.
Oh, okay, Will. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is, I've tried silent prayer, and I understand we're not supposed to expect interlocutions or any earth-shattering voice from God himself. So how exactly are we supposed to do silent prayer? I'd like to know how to listen. It's hard to be silent on our side, first of all, and keep our mind clear. But how are we supposed to listen to God when he's not really talking to us? We're not feeling anything. Those kind of things. What are we supposed to look for? Thank you.
Sure. So, John. I appreciate that question. God's always talking to us, even in our distractions. You know, there's been more times than not where I'm praying, and maybe I'm just sitting there in my Lectio Divina, and that's where I'm going to point you to in a second. But I'm sitting there doing Lectio, and all of a sudden a distraction comes to me. You know, I used to, in a lot of ways, just kind of move it aside really quick and go back to what I was doing. But more oftentimes than not, I feel that the Holy Spirit has inspired that, has kind of put that into my head. Why? Because that's probably the number one thing I really need to ask help in right now and to be able to pray for. So sometimes in my distractions, I sit with it. Right? And I give it to the Lord. I've been known sometimes in my mind, it's kind of a goofy little trick, but I'll put it in a little balloon, I'll tie the knot, and I'll let it go to God at the end, just so I can say, Lord, this is yours now. There's a lot of tools that the church gives us to be able to help us to enter into this. So when I say silence, a lot of times people just kind of equate that with sitting in a chair and just kind of blankly looking in the mirror or just closing my mind. That's not what I'm saying at all. The silence can be in the rosary. Silence can be in Lectio Divina, you know, allowing maybe some of those words. You know, Lectio Divina is a really ancient art of prayer in the church. It's probably my favorite way to pray. It's a very Ignatian style of prayer. Open up a book or some kind of Catholic book on spirituality. A lot of times, sometimes I'll open up a book on a saint. You read something, kind of chew on it a little bit, read it again. Maybe for me, it's the blind man in the Gospels. The blind man reaches out to the Lord. Lord, let me see, right? And the Lord says, what do you want me to do for you? For me, I put myself as that blind man. I reach out to the Lord, right? Lord, heal me. And I imagine the Lord saying, what do you want me to heal you from, right? So silence, when I speak on silence, it's oftentimes kind of shutting off the world, not shutting off the Lord or shutting off these tools of prayer that God has given us. When we talk about silence, it's getting rid of maybe some of those things that are just getting in the way, the busyness of everyday life. Maybe it's my work or something like this. Just kind of move that aside, and now I'm entering into a new space in my mind, and that's a space with God. So that's kind of what I mean. If you're one of those guys that just doesn't really know where to start, my biggest, I love pointing people to the rosary. It is a school of prayer like none other, meditative, contemplative. And, you know, meditation, that word has been hijacked by our culture. It's anything but turning in on ourselves. I remember I had a good friend of mine once. She said, I got to meditate. And I said, well, what do you do when you meditate? She said, I get to know me. I thought to myself, gross. Right? I want to get to know me, right? I'm a broken man. I'm a mess. I want to reach to God. That's what meditation is. So in the rosary, we're reaching to God with the sacred scriptures, kind of a mini lectio, if you will. You know, the joyful mysteries, the glorious mysteries, we're putting ourselves into that. And then we allow the Lord, contemplation is when God reaches back into our hearts and our souls. And God maybe puts there what it is that we need to do for him, what he's asking of us. And maybe that comes through a simple thought. You know, the Holy Spirit works a lot through our thoughts. You know, it's not some kind of locution, as you said before. You know, Our Lady just doesn't have to appear to us to be able to give us instruction. Then we know this is coming from God. That the Holy Spirit oftentimes directs us through those thoughts that we have, and I think we need to be able to listen to those. But that comes first from silencing all of those things that oftentimes get in the way. So use the tools. Really use those tools that the church has given us, and there's tons of them. I've given you a couple, I think, that are pretty common amongst most of the saints, Lectio Divina and the Rosary.
Well, thanks, John, but there's no such thing as complete silent prayer, contemplative prayer. I'm not just a beginner like you, but I thought I understood that there was kind of prayer, a higher level kind of prayer where you just sit and be quiet, that sort of... like you know, when you're in adoration, I look at him and he looks at me, and that's it. So I don't know if you have any comment on that.
Is that where you want to go?
No.
Is that what you want to do? Is what I'm
saying? I tried, though, and I don't know how to do it correctly.
Sure. What's really kind of getting in your way? What do you mean you don't know how to do it correctly?
Well, when I sit down and just empty my thoughts and try to be silent in front of in adoration, because what I start out with is with a prayer book, and after about 5 minutes, then I put that down, sort of like Lectio Divina, and then sit in front of the Eucharist and try to empty my thoughts, but I don't know what to wait for or try to communicate with Jesus there, except getting distractions again, like you were talking about.
Yeah, I really want to caution you against, brother, is that don't overthink this. You know, the devil is the king of distraction, and he wants to complicate everything, including our relationship with the Lord. Remember, God is simple, St. Thomas Aquinas says. And the way that we have to enter into communion with him has to be simple, too. You know, when I sit with my daughter, Gianna, who I hope is listening right now back in Des Moines, she's 19 months old. And, you know, when I go home and I sit with her, now she's anything but silent, but she'll run around the room and everything. What am I doing as a father? I'm not having these amazing conversations with my daughter. What am I doing? I'm just taking joy in being in her presence. I'm taking joy in just being with her. You know, I love that she'll come up to me and bring her pretend apple and say, apple. you know, or her orange, something like this. As a father, I'm so delighted to be with her. And I think that's what you have to really put yourself, when you're in that adoration, imagine the father just being delighted that you're there. Don't overcomplicate it with words. Just imagine the father wrapping his arms around you and loving you, just like I do with my daughter, brother.
Thanks, Will. I'm really glad you got through. I think we surprised Will, but I'm really glad he was there. 888-318-7884 is the number. This is Catholic Answers Live. Our topic, Rejuvenate Your Prayer. Our guest, John Leonetti, will be right back after this with more.
Your questions, Catholic Answers, live.
We hear it every year. The perennial question, what are you giving up for Lent? And there's nothing wrong with doing without certain things you may have an affinity for. But this year, why not turn the question around and ask, what are you taking on for Lent? Have you considered helping a friend or family member as they journey into the Catholic Church? It's called Friendship Evangelization. And so you don't have to go it alone. Author Devin Rose has written Navigating the Tiber, How to Help Your Friends and Family Journey Toward the Catholic Faith. Not only does he equip you with the knowledge from Scripture, the early church, and Christian history, he shows you how to deal with the common aspects of a convert's journey. Make this Lent one to remember. Order your copy of Navigating the Tiber today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about my new book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties. Have you ever read something in the Bible that confused you? Or has a skeptic ever asked you to explain a scandalous passage and you didn't know what to say? Doesn't Genesis contradict science? Why does the Bible promote slavery? How could God order his people to kill women and children? It's happened to just about everyone. But now you have a place to turn for the answers. In Hard Sayings, I look at dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture and offer clear, reasonable, and Catholic keys to unlocking their true meaning. After reading this book, you'll be equipped to answer the toughest questions skeptics ask about the Bible. So don't be left without an answer again. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Want to come cruising with us June 3rd through 10th aboard Holland America's MS Veendam? We'd love it if you would come. You sail out of Montreal and cruise through Canada and New England. You get to go to Montreal, Quebec City, Charlottetown on Prince Edward Island, Sydney, Halifax, Bahia Harbor, Boston. Chris Check is going to be one of the speakers. He's the president here of Catholic Answers. Tim Stables, you know him, director of apologetics and evangelization here at Catholic Answers. Patrick Madrid from the Patrick Madrid Show and from Twitter. I think he's other than the president, I think he's the biggest user of Twitter. I don't know. I may be exaggerating there. Father Paul Check also will be on the cruise, and I'm almost going to get to go. I'm close to going to be there, and I want to be there, but I got to get 20 people to sign up using the promo code CY and CY. And if you do that, we also are going to add a bonus that you get a free Catholic Answers Halifax full day shore excursion. So we'd love it if you'd come on the cruise with us. If you put in that word "sci," well, then I'm going to get to come with you as well. And don't worry, I won't forget. I will be carrying your bags and buttering your toast or whatever else you need during the cruise. You call 800-707-1634. That's the Cruise Authority if you want to come on the cruise with us. Or just go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com. And John Leonetti is our guest this hour. And John, don't you think it would be best if I got to go on that cruise? Don't you think that would be?
I really do. I think you need to get those 20 people.
I'm glad I didn't give you any warning that I was going to ask you that. I just forced you to say it on the air.
I love it.
888-318-7884 is the number. John Leonetti, our guest, Rejuvenate Your Prayer. Okay, so John, you talked a little bit about silence as the beginning point, and I am going to go back to calls. You talked about having a schedule. What about having a place for prayer? I mean,
yeah, sacred space.
Yeah, how important is that, do you think?
I think it's really important. I also understand that, you know, for many people are kind of in different situations. I grew up, my mom had a table in our dining room. That was the only time we ever went into our dining room was when we would pray together. And, you know, we weren't this incredibly holy family, but once in a while I remember growing up and we would gather around this table and maybe say the rosary or other prayers. But and she still has it there to this day. There's a Bible on it, a crucifix. There's a bunch of statues of the saints to be able to help us kind of deepen our prayer, look to them as those models. And that was just kind of, you know, every time I go over to my dad and my mom's house now, and I walk past that. And she always warns me at Christmas, no more saint statues, you know, because there's just like absolutely no room left on this thing. But it's such a nice place. It's such a sacred place for me just to even look at and even have some of those memories. I think that's important for all of us to be able to have. What's that place? What's that go-to? You know, for me, it's also an adoration chapel. You know, there's three adoration chapels in Des Moines. I love going to the one that, you know, smells like incense. It's an older one, just kind of beautiful, gothic in a way. And I connect there. You know, that's my place. That's my sacred place that I can walk in and instantly smell that incense and just be with the Lord. Other places, maybe it takes me a little bit of time to be able to enter into it. But I always ask people, find that place. Maybe you can't go there every day. I get it. But find that place where you are most connected to the Lord and allow that to be your and His place.
888-318-7884 is the number. I want to, John, share something with you and just get your impression about this, or just sure. kind of feel you out on this. And that I worked at a place where it was very convenient for me to go to adoration daily, to spend some time with the Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. And I think this might address what Will was talking about a little earlier. I found out that just because I was able to do that, it wasn't nothing heroic. Like, you know, many people make a heroic effort to visit the Lord. They go to their parish, you know, they drive for miles to do that. But it just happened to be convenient, and I did. And I found out that when you do that over a period of time, things start to happen in your spiritual life, and you realize, oh, He's doing it. I'm not doing it. The Lord is the one that's active in this. And you just spending that time with Him can make an enormous difference over time. You know, it's not like today I went in and I had this, the heavens opened up to me and the angels were there or something. No, but over time I realized, oh, he's the active one in this relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. You are hitting on a fundamental understanding that the church has always given us when it comes to prayer. And Paul gives us this in the scriptures. We always have to remember this, that the agent of prayer within us is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that is praying within us. All of our prayers, everything. This is why Jesus gives us the most crucial prayer, the most dangerous prayer the world has ever known, which is the Our Father. And in it, when the disciples are looking to talk to Him, how do we do this? Teach us to pray. He gives us that masterful prayer, and in it He says those very dangerous words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," right?
Right.
That is the perfect prayer. This is the prayer always of the saints. You know, we don't pray to manipulate God or to change God. He's not some kind of cosmic complaint box to be able to throw all of our anxieties and stresses in. We pray to close the gap between what I want and what He wills. And so the perfect prayer for us is to just, even if we need to repeat that a million times over the course of our life, "Thy will be done," is to mesh that together, to allow then my will to be God's. And that is the Holy Spirit that prays through us, constantly seeking us, constantly moving us towards the will of the Father. So, you know, as you say before, for a lot of us, we get in the way of that. We get in the way of things that we think are going to happen, or things that we want to happen, or things that we think we need to say, or things that we wish we could say better, right? You oftentimes hear people say, I don't pray as well as you, right? Some people will say, well, it doesn't make any sense, right? Prayer is from the heart. Prayer is for each person, even if it's the most simple prayer possible. And especially if it's the most simple prayer possible, those are the prayers of the Father. So, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That's got to be our prayer.
Resurgence 30 Days to Better Prayer is John Leonetti's effort to help you get better at prayer, or to find a more fuller path in your prayer life. BetterMyPrayer.com is where you go to find out about it. John, I don't know if you believe this. Do you think people who live in California are better at prayer? I don't. The reason I'm asking, I'll just let you know, is all of the callers lined up right now are from California. I have no idea why, but Shannon in Folsom, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio, you are on with John Leonetti. What's your question about prayer?
Well, I wanted to expand on that. The other gentleman who called in and was saying, you know, the silence. So if you're praying and you're, let's say you're saying the rosary and you're at the end of the rosary, you know, the word, you're Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, and you go, oh, Mother of Mercy. Oh, they've been talking about divine mercy. And, oh my gosh, Mary's the mother of the divine mercy, you know, Jesus. And then all of a sudden you realize your mind has wandered and you're now no longer saying the rest of that prayer. Is that okay? You're supposed to be following the Holy Spirit, and that maybe that was where you're supposed to go?
Yeah, why not? Why not? You know, if the Lord's directing you in this way, or if your mind wanders there, you know more than anyone. You know, if you feel like you need to bring yourself back a little bit, that's fine. But if, you know, you're thinking of these holy things, that's not a bad thing at all. You know, there's times in Mass when I go to some of those beautiful churches, I get lost in the beauty. I get lost in some of the things around me. And in some ways, it can be a beautiful thing, even at the most beautiful part of the Mass, which is, you know, the priest raising up the host for us and then entering into Holy Communion. My mind is on the Lord. That's why beauty, it always directs us back. So there's times that I get lost or, quote-unquote, distracted by holy things. Ride with it a little bit, if that's, you know, where the Lord's leading you. But I think we know more than anything when those times we need to call ourselves back. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think that would be a bad thing whatsoever.
Does that help you, Shannon?
And then what?
Oh, go ahead.
It does, but if you also have it where, let's say you're, I walk sometimes, and I'm praying the rosary while I'm walking because it's just nice. I'm not wearing headphones. And then all of a sudden in my mind, I, you know, pass a neighbor's house and I think, oh my gosh, you know, she's a widow. You know, I really should make a lunch date with her on Sunday. Is that also something where you're not really like letting your mind wander off the prayer, but that could be still the Holy Spirit and not just you, you know, letting your mind wander because of the fact that you're walking?
I think that is the perfection of prayer, when our prayer moves us into doing these acts of charity. This is precisely why we pray. It is to move us to those acts of charity, those acts of love. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, right? This is what we pray for. Lord, help me to better love. So I think if you're praying the rosary and all of a sudden it comes up that there's a widow, and you know how much Jesus talked about the widows in the Gospels, if there's a widow that's alone or lonely, and that rosary that you're praying all of a sudden prompts you to be able to go and make dinner with her, I think you're probably praying better than anyone I've talked to in a long time. So you're doing something right.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. Staying in California, we go to Molly, somewhere in California, listening on Immaculate Radio. Molly, you are on with John Leonetti. What's your question?
My question is, I've been raised Catholic, but I feel like I've never been connected to the faith, and I have a big disconnect with prayer. Don't find any meaning. It just feels like empty words. And it's something that's always bothered me, but I'm most concerned about it now because I have young children that I'm trying to raise as Catholic, and I don't think I can help them grow in the faith if I don't have it myself.
Mm-hmm. What's your question?
I don't know what to do about it. I've gone through periods of like praying the rosary daily. They attend Catholic school, so I will often stop in the church either when I drop them off or pick them up. And I'm not expecting some grand aha moment, but just something to indicate that this is real, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hear you, and I really enjoy kind of the you wouldn't be asking this question if there wasn't something that you at least desired, even if it was a small desire, to get to know the Lord.
And I can give you a million different things and say, in fact, I just asked the Holy Spirit to guide me in this question, in the answer to this question. I want you to work with the smallest bit of desire that you have. You know, I mean, that's where you have to start. You wouldn't have called into this show if there wasn't the smallest bit of desire that you have to get to know the Lord. And so what I want you to do is, instead of concentrating on the right words to say, ask the Lord to help you in your prayer. If that's your prayer for the next 5 years, I want you to at least be confident that He's going to answer it. Ask the Lord to help you. And if you find that desire slipping away, then pray the prayer of many different saints, including St. Ignatius of Loyola, because he struggled with that too. Oftentimes, he lost his desire to even pray. And you can imagine many of the great saints went through dark periods where they thought, is this pointless? Just like you. And so what they would do is ask for the desire to pray. And some of them even went back three desires, the desire to desire to desire to even pray. It sounds to me like you have a small desire. And if it's not just for yourself, it's also for your kids. And I think the Lord, I really believe, and I wouldn't be doing this right now. I wouldn't be on the road, you know, I'd be home right now drinking a beer if I didn't think this was that important. This has got to be where we start. So I want you just to work with the smallest bit of desire. And when you go into that church, as you say you do, or maybe you pick up that rosary, make all of your intentions right now that the Lord can teach you how to pray. Ask Him to help you understand the fruits of this. Start there and make that your only prayer if that's the case, if that's where you got to sit. And you may not feel the effects. You may not understand the effects. He may not open your mind for it. He may just allow you to keep thirsting a little bit and drawing you closer to Him. Also, I want to give you two saints to be able to look to, two powerful saints, and they're very well known in the church, John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila. No, I am not saying, for all of our faithful, dear Catholic listener fans, that this woman's going through the dark night of the soul. Obviously, there's a handful of people that have ever gone through this. But I also think that there's darkness in a lot of our lives, and the Lord can bring great light to it. So I want you to look to maybe some of those saints that had some of that darkness in their life or struggled in their prayer life. Teresa of Calcutta, as I said, is one big one. We know her, and a very modern saint. Ignatius of Loyola is another one. And then, as I said before, John of the Cross. Ask for their intercession. Take them kind of as your spiritual patron saints if you don't have some of them yet. Learn their stories, read some of their books, and you might just find that the Lord's going to work through that.
So just, and if doubts come up or if, I don't know.
Give them to the Lord.
Sometimes I'm doing this, and then I think, you know, what's the point? And then I feel badly for thinking that. But then,
Look, tell the Lord that. You know, don't let that be just to yourself. Tell the Lord, Lord, I don't know what the point of all this is. I need you to help me. Help me understand the point. Help me see why I'm doing this, because right now I think this is pointless, and I don't think it makes any sense. I need your help in this. Help me. That's a beautiful prayer, and that is probably one of the most powerful prayers any of us could ever say. If there's an ounce of desire in that prayer, an ounce of true desire that you have, and again, I don't think you'd be talking about it if there wasn't even a smidgen. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, says all the Lord needs is a crack of the door. All the Lord needs in our life is a crack of the door, and that's enough for Him to work. Just open it, even if it's just a crack.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
God bless you. Hey, I want to put you through my program for free, 30 Days to Better Prayer. Will you? Would you commit to doing it if you can?
Yes, I would. I would do it, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, stay on the line there, Molly, and we'll get your information. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
Your number one source for Catholic apologetics and evangelization, Catholic Answers Live.
Widely regarded as the premier magazine of Catholic apologetics and evangelization, our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine features the articles you want by the authors you know and respect. Year after year, Catholic Answers magazine has been bringing the very best teachers the Catholic world has to offer into thousands of homes on a regular basis. Top-notch writers like Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, Mark Brumley, Tim Staples, Carlo Brissard, and Matt Nelson. The list goes on and on. It makes a perfect gift for family and friends, students, priests, and seminarians. Just about anybody you know. And of course, don't forget about a subscription for yourself. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to shop.catholic.com to subscribe today. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 9:14, the disciples of John the Baptist asked Jesus why his disciples did not fast, while they and the Pharisees did. Jesus responded that the wedding guests could not mourn while the bridegroom was still with them, but that the day would come when he would be taken away, and then they would fast. Jesus obviously associates wedding festivities with joy and not sorrow, as in the case of fasting. The time did come for his disciples to fast, and it continues to this day. We fast in reparation for our infidelity toward him, considering all that he endured for us. Fasting is a way of asserting our convictions that gives credibility to our words before others, but most importantly, it does so to ourselves. After all, fasting is a form of sacrifice, and sacrifice is the measure of love. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to our final segment of Catholic Answers Live this week. Welcome to Andres and Adelina. Thanks for being with us here in studio. 888-318-7884 is the number. We've got John Leonetti answering questions on prayer. And since we've just got a short time left, I'm going to go to as many calls as I can. So leaving California now, Matthew in Seattle, Washington, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. You are on with John. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks, gentlemen, for taking my call. My wife and I, we both love to run a lot, train for marathons and stuff like that. We're crazy. But so when I run, I like to either carry a rosary or a ring rosary and like in my head, say, pray the rosary. Or sometimes when I'm running by myself, even sometimes out loud. So some people probably think I'm a crazy Catholic, but I was just wondering if you think that's an effective way to pray.
First of all, I think that's a good thing if people think you're a crazy Catholic, man. We got to bring back weird Catholicism. All right, my buddies and I are on a campaign for that. I want people to look at what we do as Catholics and to think that is weird. That's the first step of conversion right there. Pray at all times, St. Paul says, right? Pray without ceasing. Of course, by all means, pray when you're running. But I want to challenge you too, Matthew, because the saints all had that time with the Lord where they sat with him. And they entered into it in a deeper way. And so my challenge to you is this, is I know you guys love to run and pray, and do not stop doing that, please. And pray those Hail Marys as loud as you can. But I also want to challenge you to have maybe that 10, 15 minutes alone with the Lord where you're just not really kind of doing anything, where you're just kind of resting with him. And allow that rest to be in some ways maybe a prayer and to enter a little bit deeper there. I think that's a big challenge. That's something that's not just for you. That's for all of us. But I would really highly recommend that. And that's the game changer right there. When you can rest with the Lord, you know, and you're not just kind of rattling things so often, that you also have that time where you're just to be able to be and be in his presence, as I was saying with one of the previous callers.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Do I have a second quick follow-up question that relates to Ash Wednesday?
Yeah, you can, but only if you're running while you ask the question. Are you currently running, Matthew?
I'll run in place, I guess.
Okay, all right. Then you can ask another question.
All right. So my question is, in the reading from Matthew, it said to pray in like the silence of your room or the privacy of your room. Yeah. How do you reconcile that with like praying like outside of a Planned Parenthood or an abortion clinic?
How do I reconcile praying in the silence of our room? Well, that's not the only place that Jesus prayed himself. If that was the case, then he wouldn't have gone to the mountaintops to pray. He wouldn't have prayed with his apostles, et cetera, et cetera. So Well, I think he's kind of getting at a point there, and we also have to take it into context. Remember who he's speaking to right here. He's helping people. The point he's making isn't that that's the only place we need to pray. The point he's making is when we pray, are we doing this simply so people can kind of give us adulation, can look at us, can see us in this and think we're really holy, or are we praying from our heart? You know, there's actually been some scripture scholars that say the silence of the room. Where's the silence of the room? It's in the body. It's in the soul, right? That's where we go. That's where we retreat to. So I think, you know, not to get carried away, in especially the kind of the context, but the context here matters when he's talking. Otherwise, I don't think he would do some of the things he did, walk with his apostles, pray with them, teach them how to pray in those certain situations as well.
Thank you very much, Matthew. John, I pray while I'm driving, but I drive a 20-year-old Honda, so I have to, or else I won't get where I'm going.
I pray while you're driving, too.
I think a lot of people do, actually, John. That's a good point. We go to Chris in Bakersfield, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Chris, we're talking about prayer this hour with John Leonetti. What's your question?
Yes, I have a couple of questions. One of them is, this right now for Lent, we, as a family, we decided to do a sacrifice, give something up. So typically at 7 p.m., we pray the rosary as a family, and then we get away from electronics or TV, nothing like that, unless you want to watch, you know, a movie, something related with the saint or read a book or the Bible, then you could do that. Other than that, you can't touch nothing else. Kind of stay away from the world for a second before we go to bed. And by now we added for Lent, I asked the whole family, what do you guys think if after we pray the rosary, we drive to the church, we go to adoration for 30 minutes, an hour, whatever time we desire to be there. And then after we leave, we do silence, kind of like what the monks do. Organizations do it, and they all agreed. And my question is am I going a little too far with the kids with this, or is this okay? They're not fighting about it. They're doing it. And so far, you know, this it's only been a couple of days, but they've had good experiences so far, except the little ones. The 6-year-old and the 8-year-old been a little fussy, but what do you think?
They have friends?
What is that?
Do they have friends?
Yes. Yeah,
you shelter them away from friends or other people?
Who's that, me?
Yeah.
No. After we go to adoration, we go home and we don't talk to nobody. No, it's this moment of silence, like spend time with Jesus and Christ, and that's it.
Sure, yeah.
But they got friends.
I think the point I'm making here is, you know, I don't think you're going too far, first and foremost. You know, if we're sheltering our kids and the only place they can live is a church, and then, you know, they need to be quiet and can never talk and live like monks, I think maybe we might need to look at our vocation, because our vocation isn't to live like monks. Our vocation is to live in the world but not be of the world. But as I think certain periods like Lent is an opportunity for us as families to be able to go that extra mile. First and foremost, a rosary every day as a family, that's an amazing thing. A holy hour, you know, if you can make it every day as a family, would just be incredible. And if your family's up for it, yeah. But sure, I think it sounds great. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I don't think you have anything to worry about. I really don't.
And my personal question would be, is I carry the rosary with me every day, everywhere I go. I sleep with my rosary. I wake up, you know, my guardian angel wakes me up at 2 in the morning.
Real quick, Chris, because we're running out of time here.
Yes. So is that considered prayer even though I fall asleep?
Yep. Mother Teresa held her rosary at all times. She always had it in her pocket, and she said it was holding the hand of Our Lady. Keep doing that. Don't give up.
Thank you very much, Chris, for those questions. Thank you, John Leonetti, for a really great hour. I appreciate you taking the time to do this hour with us.
Hey, God bless you, man. You're great.
Maybe next time. Oh, thank you. Maybe next time we're on, we could do something on being weird and Catholic.
Really? Bring back weird Catholicism. Man.
Weird Catholicism. Oh, I thought it was being weird and Catholic, because I think I am both of those things. But you mean weird. Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. Weird Catholicism.
All right. Rejuvenate your prayer life. Resurgence. 30 days to better prayer at bettermyprayer.com. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. We'll see you again Monday. So over the weekend, stay in that light. Thanks for joining us this week on Catholic Answers Live.